The Bible reading comes from John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Cheers, Mel. How good. Love that passage. Just letting everyone know that I'm drinking out of a cup this sermon. I always get comments. My main feedback on my sermons are what I've actually drunk out of. So first one was a way too big water bottle. That was the first feedback. Second one, I kept doing that too dramatically on the pop top of my pump bottle. So a glass tonight, everyone, just letting you know. I've actually spilt it on myself already, so we'll see how this goes. So the passage tonight is actually such a cool passage to be able to preach on, because it's like so wild. It's Jesus, who is God in flesh, like the Lord, washing someone's feet. It's so crazy, and it's an amazing message of humility and being the main reason why Kendrick Lamar's Humble has been stuck in my head all week. So I'm going to pray for us to kick things off, and then we're just going to walk through this awesome passage together. So please pray with me. Dear God, I thank you that you are powerful and loving. I thank you so much that you sent your son Jesus to die for us, for our sins, to wipe us clean. Pray that tonight we can just have a better understanding of you, Lord, that we can have a better understanding of Jesus and your instructions for us, your instructions for us to serve. I pray this in your son's holy name. Amen. So, fun fact about my friends is they're pretty weird. Like, whenever we do something together, things always just get a little bit unconventional, a little bit uncivilized and a bit strange. For example, we always do dinners together because we all work during the day. And we make these plans. We're like, yeah, let's go to this really nice restaurant. Or like, let's go to this person's house and have like a really nice dinner party. It'll be like nice, sit down, hanging out. We make these plans that are super adult, super civilized. But somehow things turn unadult and uncivilized really fast. For example, when we were at the Blue Gum the other week, our steak dinner turned into us making friends with all the different staff to get them to vote on which tattoo idea is better for an inner lip, either the word schema or spicy. I believe neither are good tattoos, but, and I'm sorry to Josh, who's probably going to get one of them soon, but we always end up doing weird things at the end of dinner. Or some of our dinners have ended us like multiple times playing deal or no deal at the bowling at Hornsby. Not going to Hornsby to like bowl, actually just to play the deal or no deal game because we find that really fun. Or even just this week, we had a dinner and it ended up with everyone doing a push-up comp and a planking comp. When I say everyone, it meant everyone but me. But yeah, so it was a really weird dinner. No matter what we do, things always get weird. And I feel like that's how Jesus' disciples felt. They'll take Jesus to these places and like he'll go somewhere and then this woman weeps and chucks perfume on his feet and they're like, what? Okay, Jesus. Or like there'll be these moments where he'll just start yelling at people and getting annoyed at Pharisees and they're just like, Jesus, we can't take you anywhere. And that's how I feel like with my friends. So let's have a bit of a look at the story that Mel read out to us tonight. So far, it was a fairly regular dinner. Jesus hadn't done anything weird yet. It was taking place prior to Passover, just a regular Jewish ritual that had been around for ages. Jesus and his disciples were there at the dinner, just having a chat, having a feed, and suddenly, Jesus stands up from his seat, and he walks over, he grabs a towel, he takes off some of his outer robes and chucks his towel around his waist, and he fills up the basin with water. And he starts washing everyone's feet. Reading this, you're sort of just like, Jesus, like, this is really random. Like, what are you doing in the middle of this dinner? Like, everyone's trying to eat. Was there a point? Well, it's Jesus, of course, there's a point. Otherwise, a bit of a pointless sermon happening. Jesus is showing his followers how to live. He's showing us how to live. Jesus is showing that serving God is humbly serving those around you. I'm going to say it again. Serving God is humbly serving those around you. When Jesus got on his knees and washed the disciples' feet, for the disciples, this was madness, but not in the same way it was weird for us, because foot washing isn't even a thing now. But back in the day, foot washing was a thing, and it would happen. But it wouldn't happen by people like Jesus, who was at that time had a whole lot of mates around him who was called Lord and Teacher. Usually, it was done by the slaves. It was done by the lowest of lows, and it was the job that you wouldn't want because there was no cars back then. Everyone would, normal people at least, would walk everywhere along these long, dirty, dusty roads, and there wasn't good sewage or waste systems, so their feet were probably smelly and a bit grotty as well. No one wanted to wash feet. Only the lowest of servants would wash feet. But there Jesus was, washing his disciples' feet. He was doing the task of the lowest of servants to the people that would call him Lord and Teacher. Here Jesus is performing an action of humble service to communicate that Christians should be willing to perform the most menial tasks for one another. There is no task considered too lowly. There is no task you are ever too good for. Jesus was washing the feet of humans, the people that should be worshipping him, for he is their God, and Jesus knew that. At the beginning of the story, it even says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Jesus had power to be king, to be ruler of the world, to be leading all the armies, to be this big, powerful figure. Yet he used his power to wash feet. And the feet of his disciples, who would soon abandon him. And Jesus knew that one of them soon was going to even betray him, a betrayal that would end his own life, just for a few coins. Yet Jesus still washed their feet. Why? Well, verse 1 says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved his disciples, despite all flaws, all betrayal, all sin. And this is exactly how Jesus feels about us too. The ritual of Jesus washing the disciples' feet actually foreshadows the same love that led Jesus to the cross. That outer cleansing of the feet represents the inner cleansing we receive from Jesus of our sins. Jesus, our God, washed the feet of the disciples, and he washed your feet when he cleansed you from your sins through his death and resurrection. Jesus is God. As I said before, he could have come down to earth, sat on a throne, and ruled that way, but he chose not to. Jesus chose to be a humble leader who would serve his people. He spent his time among the people, in the crowds, building relationships, walking alongside them. He looked into the eyes of those struggling, of the marginalized. He ate dinner with the outcasts. He healed people physically and spiritually who so desperately needed it. He died on the cross, an excruciating and humiliating pain, just to forgive our sins. Jesus washed the feet. And then after he washed the feet, he said, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet." Jesus has called us to humble ourselves and serve one another just like he did. There is no one too difficult to serve. Jesus has proved that. We are called to love everyone with the same radical love as we would want to be loved and serve everyone equally. Serving God is humbly serving those around you. Though, what does Jesus' humble act of service look like today? Should we start getting up in the middle of meals and crack out the foot bath? Well, maybe, but probably not. I think serving others looks unique to everyone according to their own context and depends on their own life circumstances. So how do we make sure we're best serving others? I put it into three steps: be community aware, be self-aware, and be God aware. And before I begin explaining this, I just want to say disclaimer. I'm not perfect at doing either of these three things, and I don't think anyone would be unless they are Jesus. So give serving a wholehearted go like Jesus instructed you. Keep pursuing that. Then remember, it's your faith that saves you, not your works. So let's start with discussing being community aware. Jesus saw the feet of those around him. He saw they were dirty and needed to be clean. He reacted and cleaned them. What's the needs of those around you? Helping fulfill those needs may be a tedious task, and it may not be. Though when Jesus said in verse 15, "I have set an example and you should do as I have done for you," this meant we should be trying to identify the needs of those around us and help them, even if it isn't a glamorous task. Our church has some amazing people who humbly serve, who have seen the needs of both this congregation and the community, who are people that their job might not always get talked about, but they are amazingly and just continuously serving. There's the people that set up communion every month. There's the people that tidy the gardens and fix things that are broken. There's people that arrange the flowers and cater for funerals that we host here. People that deliver meals for those that are sick in our community. There's people that help transport the frail and elderly to their doctor's appointments or just to get them out of the house. There's people that serve at so many different ministries across our church every day of the week, all through the three services. There's so many people who are giving up their time, their effort, their money just to serve God. Being community aware means asking, what are the needs of this community, whether it's our church community or everyone around us? Who in your life is struggling right now that could use a helping hand? How are you going to wash the feet of those around you? So to serve in your community most effectively, it helps to be self-aware. If you are good at something, if something is your gift, own it and use it to serve others and serve God while doing so. I know it sounds weird since I've been talking about humility a lot, but you can be humble while still owning what you're good at, because if you acknowledge that everything you've been blessed with comes from God, then it just makes sense to use it to serve him. Maybe there's spiritual gifts you have, like evangelism or prayer or teaching. Or maybe you just have a skill you can offer. You could be super creative and artistic. You might be great at gardening. You could be really good with computers. What are you good at? How could you be using these things to wash others' feet, to help those either in your local community or church community? This week I ran a study camp for year 12s, and I was so lucky. I had so many people that just put up their hands and said, yeah, this is how I can help. Whether it was helping just proofread essays, or whether it was making meals, or just being someone for the kids to hang out with. I had so many amazing, willing leaders that sacrificed their time, sacrificed their study breaks or whatever they're doing in life, just to help out with this camp and help our community. I had Elle Worgan. The second she heard that I was running a study camp, she was like, sweet, I'll run a bio seminar, because she's a bio teacher and she knew that's what she had to offer, so she offered it. Identify what you are good at and use it to serve. But also, what aren't you great at? What do you need to work on or just need to let go? There's things that I'm not great at, and I've either had to work hard on to get better, or just let go of and delegate for others to do, because they're much better at these things. And I don't mean if you're serving on a ministry team, being like, oh, washing up's not my spiritual gift, so like you can get out of cleaning. I mean, if you're already serving at something and there are elements of that role that you're not good at, practice and get better. And if you think it would actually be better for someone else to do that role, to be delegated elsewhere, talk to the leader of that ministry. They may have further training for you, or they may be able to find someone else to help you out. An example of this is I did this test with Bible College that like ranked your 30 strengths. There's like 30 strengths everyone has. There's like kindness, generosity, all these things. My 30th strength, super ironic for this sermon topic, was humility. And even further, more ironic, that I bragged about how unhumble I was after, then realized that's not a good idea. So coming out of that situation, I had to go, okay, how can I become more humble and how can I be more Christ-like? Because that's not a Christ-like trait of mine. So I had to sort of persist in talking to different people. I had to read my Bible a lot and try and just let God humble me through that process. It's about identifying what you're not good at. Or maybe you've made some mistakes, whether it's in your ministry or personal life. It's about owning those mistakes and moving on and using them to make your own ministry better. If you have things and you're good at it, don't be lazy, but do something with it. Use it for good, use it humbly, without boasting. Use it in your everyday life or formally in your ministry context. If you have something to offer but don't know how to use it, just talk to one of the pastors. We'd love to help you try and put those things into work. What if you're actually not aware of, though, what you're good at or what you're bad at? Well, there's a few things you can do. Talk to a close mate that you trust. I'm sure they've noticed the things you are good at and maybe even the things that you're bad at. Or maybe talk to one of the pastors. We have the spiritual gift course coming up really soon. That's a really great way to engage with your spiritual gifts and understand. Or just give something a go. Have a trial. If it doesn't work out, that's rough. Go try something else. And if it does, great. You found a place to serve. How good. And that being said, if someone is good at something, make sure you tell them. Make sure you're encouraging others to be serving really well and to keep doing what they're good at, because they might not even know that they're good at stuff. And if you're criticizing someone, just be careful in approach and make sure it's constructive. I think constructive criticism is great and key to building self-awareness. It's like in the Bible how it talks about how iron sharpens iron. We have the opportunity to sharpen each other and sharpen our functionality as a church community. Though how can iron sharpen iron if the two pieces of iron are like this far away from each other? If you have criticism, don't use it to show everyone that you know better, but instead voice that opinion in a constructive, productive space with hope for change and bettering that person or church community depending on the situation. My third point, so first one was be community aware and self-aware. Third one, be God aware. Being God aware is how we find the strength to do those menial tasks, to serve. By letting ourselves be filled with the Holy Spirit, we can have the same servant heart as Jesus. Dr. Justin Arbuckle says, "The devotion of our service is determined by the depth of our understanding of our Saviour. I'll say that again. The devotion of our service is determined by the depth of our understanding of our Saviour. Through deeply understanding Jesus, then we can properly serve him and find strength. Jesus demonstrated the importance of relationship with God all through his ministry. Before he began his ministry, he withdrew and prayed. He persisted to pray and was baptized, and through his baptism, he received the Holy Spirit and heard words from God. If we keep praying, if we keep listening to God, we'll hear words from him. We'll have his Spirit guiding us. We'll have that Spirit inside of us. That's the same Spirit that Jesus had in him when he knelt down and washed the disciples' feet. Sorry, just trying to find my place. Oh yeah, if you don't know where to serve, listen to God and he'll probably show you where to serve. And he might even be saying where to serve right now and you just might not be listening. By being God aware, by investing your own personal relationship with Jesus. By being God aware and investing your own personal relationship with Jesus, it's easier to be community aware and self-aware. I know this from my own personal experience. God emphasizes the needs of others if you're listening to him, and also shows you what you're good at and what you need to work on. When serving, we often try and dictate to God how we want things, forgetting that God knows best. We say, okay, God, I'll serve you, but only if it's like on this day of the week and this certain way. And even in the passage, Peter tries to dictate to Jesus. First, he insists that he doesn't want any foot washing. And then when Jesus explains himself a bit, he's like, oh, no, like, give me a full bath. And Jesus is like, you just had a bath. What are you talking about? That's not what you need. See, Peter's trying to dictate to Jesus how to serve when Jesus is the only one that can dictate how you should serve. The only thing that Peter needed cleansing was his feet, but he kept trying to tell Jesus how to serve, and that wasn't what was necessary. Instead, he should have been listening to what he needed from Jesus. And often, serving is not comfortable. Jesus did that as he showed us doing boring tasks such as foot washing to excruciating tasks such as dying on the cross. Serving God can take all types of sacrifice. It could be sacrificing comfort, wealth, time, happiness, priorities. If you're serving God, there's a good chance things won't be comfortable and there will be sacrifice. Dr. Justin Arbuckle says, if Jesus is taking you down the comfortable road, you're probably following the wrong Jesus. Guys, being like, loving like Jesus is so challenging, and this has been such a challenging passage to look at. The fact that our amazing God would, for starters, humble himself so much to wash feet and then tell us to do the same, it's challenging. It's challenging to follow Jesus, and I don't think it'll ever be easy, but if we make sure we're God-focused while doing so, he'll make it just that bit easier. Jesus has already washed your feet so they're clean and ready to go wherever they're sent. Are you going to get up and go? Please pray with me.